Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning and celebrating the resurrection, the life of our Lord. And so glad to be able to spend this time with you, always opening God's word and looking as unto the Lord as for all that he has for us this morning. And we'll look forward to that. Let's just take a moment and pray once again and just put our hearts before the Lord as we're going to spend some time, I pray, listening to him and all that he has for us today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that we can gather on this wonderful, beautiful morning. And thank you that as we celebrate, you are a God not made out of stone, not carved with men's hands, not fabricated, but alive. A God who is active and effective and longs to be a part, not just of a moment, not a service, not inside these walls, but an everyday involvement in our lives. Thank you that today we celebrate a defeating of darkness, life from death, victory over all that often pulls us down. And I just pray this morning that as we open your word again, that we would set our hearts and listen only for you, that anything not from you again would go in one ear and out the other, but those things from you would go deep within us, and that your seeds of righteousness would bear your fruit once again. I thank you that today, as always, we come before a living God and we have confidence in that you are about your purpose, and that this morning as we humble ourselves, that we would join you in that which you've already been seeking and holding on to us. And so I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said, it's great to be with you this morning and spend this time in God's word. And as we are, for those who are with us this morning who haven't been with us over the past couple of weeks and months, we've been spending time as a church going through the book of Job and looking at a time in which some verses that we have that highlight seasons in life when perhaps we don't feel God's presence, when it seems like God is silent, when perhaps we experience death more than we seem to be seeing life, when we feel more lost than we find direction, when we seem to be longing for God and yet it doesn't seem like God is there at all. And as we've been looking through this book together, I can only note that we've been looking at a journey that Job has been on. Again, as we mentioned at the beginning, not a book about suffering, but a book that has been about a journey of faith in the midst of suffering. And as we have kind of come full circle to the end and seen what God has been doing in Job's life, I'm going to be opening to Job 42 this morning. And there's been a number of things that we see in Job's life that as we come together this Easter morning and highlight the resurrection of our Lord, that there are many things that we find quite similar in Job's story. First off, in Job chapter 1, we learn that Job was the most upright man on this earth, and yet it was he who was about to suffer more than any. And this morning we come together in this Easter week and look at the fact that we are celebrating, not the death, but the life of our Lord, the one who was blameless and yet took all of our blame, suffered on our behalf. We look on and note that it was Job in chapter 13 who said, "Lord, why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy?" And it can only make you think to the Jesus' own words on the cross in which he said, "Lord, why have you forsaken me?" A sense that that feeling like God had abandoned them. It was later on we read Job was disfigured. He had suffered. He was sickly. He had boils. He was sitting in an ash heap. And it tells us in Job 2 actually that his friends did not recognize him. And it's actually in Isaiah in chapter 52 that we read that Jesus himself, it says, listen, behold my servant. He will be high and lifted up, greatly exalted, just as many were astonished at you, my people. So his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And so as one suffered greatly, disfigured beyond recognition, so too Jesus suffered, marred more than any man, we read in Isaiah. It was Job, we read, that as we read on in the story, that he would be raised up. And this is what I want to focus on this morning, is that Job's hurt, Job's suffering was never for no purpose. In fact, God was doing something, and as we read together, it was Job himself in Job 42 that wrote, listen, the things that I heard with my ears about you, now I see with my own eyes. God was bringing Job to a place where he didn't just know about God, he was going to see the reality and truth of God in his life. The trials, the tribulations, the difficulties, all for purpose. To take it out of theory, out of theology, and bring it to life. That he might live knowing the Lord, not just about the Lord. That it would turn from religion, all about God, to a relationship with God. He didn't just want Job to know more about him, sing songs in his name. He wanted to see him with his own eye, to know him. And it's here, at the end of all of this, that God restores Job. And as much as we see Jesus restored to life, so there was going to be much restoration in Job's life. But I want you to see how it comes about in chapter 42, verse 7. It says this, it came about after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, that the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your two friends, because you've not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls, 7 rams, go to my servant Job and offer up a burnt offering for yourselves, and my servant Job will pray for you. For I will accept him, so that I may not do with you according to your folly. Because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Namathite went and did as the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. And it goes on to tell us that his family came and his friends came and all gave and all consoled him for his loss. And yet, notice this, God restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. Isn't that great? Here Job was in the midst of a terrible trial, difficulty, hurt, and yet restoration came, not when he felt whole himself, but what? The selfless sacrifice of praying for his friends. Job's trials were never just for himself. As much as God wanted to see Job see him face to face, he was calling his friends likewise to himself. And God longed, not just for Job, that they all might know him. And in that selfless sacrifice, not just for himself, but for his friends, restoration began. Life. And isn't that great today? Because today we're celebrating that selfless sacrifice. Jesus died not so he might save himself, but what? That we all might know. We just read from Isaiah 42, and that passage carries on right into Isaiah 53, in which it says this, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. You see, this morning, through Jesus' suffering, came restoration and blessing. Not for him alone, but for all who might walk in the midst of that sacrifice that he so freely shared. As we've looked at so many times before, and I'm reminded each and every Easter Sunday morning, death always precedes life. And as is stated in the scriptures, it says, remember, a grain of wheat falls into the ground and must die before it grows to life. It takes death in order to feed life. And we've used the example again and again, but I'll share it again this Easter Sunday morning, that today life cannot be sustained without death. Whether that be the death of a plant, an animal, every time you eat, what? To live, something must die. It's the order of the world. It's the nature of it all. And today, as we live, death must always precede true life. And as is physically, so it is spiritually. Death always precedes life. And little did Job know, nor his friends, that he was slowly being put to death. Why? That at the end he might truly understand true life. Often it is a sentiment said, you don't know what you have until you've lost it, right? And sometimes it is so easy to take for granted all that we have. And yet there are moments that I would not choose, yet thankful for, in which we've suffered loss. Because in the midst of the loss, we've truly realized the substance that is true life. And today, as we celebrate our risen Lord, we remember that together with him, and we've looked at 1 Peter through our study, it said this in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6, listen, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so we see there's difficulties, there's trials, there's proving our faith, there's the revealing of Christ. And yet Peter said, in this you greatly rejoice. In what? Here's what. 1 Peter 1, the verses just preceding, I'm going to read them this morning from the Amplified New Testament, which again just adds a few words to try and get the fullness of that original language. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says this, praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by his boundless mercy. We have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you, who are being guarded by God's power through your faith until you fully inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that today there is a hope that is boundless, an ever-living hope, that there is resurrection from the dead. But just as Job had to suffer loss in order not just to know but to see, so too today we must join him. That's where in Romans, again, and I'm reading many passages, most of which familiar to you all. It says in Romans 6, therefore, if we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We won't know life until we've suffered death. If we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we will also become in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. And if we've died for Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, never to die again, death will no longer master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. The life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to Christ. See, today, as we look back to Job's suffering, Job's sacrifice, the benefit was this, that his friends were being molded and shaped, brought to God by his trials and tribulations. They were blessed to be part of that journey. Job suffered on their behalf that they too might know and see the reality of this great God. That was part of God's scolding, because God was speaking and they weren't seeing. They kept saying religious things and religious words that sounded good on the outside, and all the while missing the substance of God on the inside. They had a front row seat to see what God was doing. And God wasn't finished, not till Job was restored, but until they were all restored. It was about bringing the body to himself, not one, but the many. And we too can become passengers watching if we're not careful. Because when Jesus suffered, as we've read this morning, he died not just so that he might find a seat at the right hand of God the Father, but so that he might, what? Save the many. And yet we too can watch and settle for second best. We can look and see and say, wow, they know God. And isn't that it? Flip to Luke and you'll see that when Jesus died, he committed his spirit to the Lord and he breathed his last. And the centurion said, wow, this was an innocent man. Those on either side of the cross, likewise, looked to Jesus. One mocked. The other said, Jesus, can I be with you? One looked at what God did and simply watched. The other accepted and joined Jesus on the journey. And Jesus said, tomorrow you will be with me. Why? Because his sacrifice, his selfless act, was not for himself, but for all who might believe. And sometimes I think today on an Easter Sunday morning, I can simply settle. It wasn't enough for God to let Job's friends watch his suffering. They were to join him on the journey to see God's restoration. And it's not enough this morning to simply celebrate Jesus' resurrection if we haven't joined him on that journey. It's not enough. Today, we are called. Just as he gave up his life today, we give up ours. That as he died, but also lived, that we too today might live. And together, we might glorify this great and wonderful God in heaven. Jesus offered life, but I wonder how often I settle for death. I settle for ritual, I settle for religion, I settle for routine, I settle for trying, I settle for trying to be more, be like God, and yet all that while settled for less than the life that he's offered. But life comes at the cost of death. A turning away from oneself unto him. Great that it was that moment that Job needed pray for his friends to welcome them in on that journey. Just as Jesus today needed to do something for you and I to bring us on that journey. He died. He took our sins upon himself. He took our death that we might join him in life. My encouragement this morning, and as always, as we look not to just celebrate something here that doesn't follow us out these doors, is this. How often have we settled for less than the life that Jesus offers? A God who didn't just pay for sins, oh, but now you're stuck in them, keep struggling. A God who rose from the dead, who didn't just pay for them, but defeated them so that you might walk in the newness of life. A God who didn't just pay a price that you might get to heaven one day, but paid and now live so that you might live a heavenly life here today on this earth. Have you settled? So easy to settle. So easy to struggle. So easy to wallow in the despairs of everyday life and loss. And yet, so easy to accept the invitation to the journey to life. So easy. Thank you. Thank you. That's all it took for a Savior that we welcome by faith, who did what we couldn't and continues to do what we can't when we let him have his way within us. Today, I hope that we wouldn't just celebrate Easter, a service, a ceremony. I had a great laugh this week talking with a friend who I know well, who's I often get great anecdote from, as he often describes to me what he sees as an outsider looking into a Christian faith. And he was confused this week by bunnies that lay eggs. And he began to talk to me about how mixed up my religion was. And we had a great laugh and an even greater conversation. Because it was just hilarious. But that's all he sees. A holiday where people eat chocolate, worship rabbits that lay eggs. And he thinks it comes from the Christian faith. But guess what? We can reduce it to that. We can reduce this to a yearly church visit where we talk about Jesus. We celebrate sacrifice. And we can altogether miss life. Altogether miss it completely. Because that sacrifice goes in vain for our sakes if we don't join him on the journey. as Job's friends needed to. God longs to restore not one, not a few, but all as he patiently waits. And today I encourage you, if you have not joined him on that journey, or as we read in Job 42, if perhaps you're one of those that might see Jesus from afar, I heard words about you with my ears, but now I see with my eye. If God has remained one simply as to something you hear about, but have never seen. Hearing isn't believing. Believing leads to seeing. And today, we take Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, and we walk a new life with new eyes, seeing afresh the newness of life, far more abundant, more than we could ever ask or imagine. But we can miss it by our religion, our routine, our rituals, our failure to see the true way to righteousness. And that comes when we lay down our lives and are willing to accept the selfless sacrifice of another. Today, Jesus lives, but he lives so that you also might live with him. What a great invitation this morning. And I pray this morning as we continue to sing and pray and share on this Easter Sunday morning, visit family and friends, that we not settle for things that seem to be life and miss true living in the midst of it. Today, God longs that you would walk in his ways, that he would be with you always. And that is our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can spend this time opening your word and trust that once again you alone speak to our hearts, that it is so easy today to settle for second best, things that seem to be about life, and yet you ordained a great and wonderful suffering servant, that on our behalf they might taste a death that would lead to life. And truthfully, Lord, you are leading us all to that death, that we might know the true reality of eternal life. And I pray today that each and every one of us, as we deep down within, continue that conversation with you, as you search our hearts for those areas where perhaps we've settled. Empty sacrifice. Religious words. Hearing words about you, that today, for each and every one of us, we wouldn't settle until we know you. And we thank you that today, as you did with Job, you will bring us often to the end of ourselves. And it is where we end that often you begin. And I pray this morning that we would be in that place where our lives are dictated and directed, not by today's earthly whims, but by a heavenly hope, an everlasting life, an eternal glory that is from you alone. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.